Blog Talk Radio.
And happy to spend another evening with you here on the Living by Design show. It's Kathy Holloway Hill, and you have me for the next 30 minutes, and we have a wonderful show on tap for you this evening. Now, if you have been keeping up with the Living by Design show, you know that we are in a phase, or we are in a theme, where we are going to be focusing on a very, very, very important topic over the next several weeks, and the topic is childhood sexual abuse, adult survivors of childhood sexual abuse. And this situation is so very prevalent in our society today and in our nation that it is just rising so rapidly that we can't even keep up with the stats. It's really, really, really an epidemic, and it's totally destroying our children, and it's affecting our adults too, because if it's not dealt with, then the child will grow up into a very dysfunctional adult with many, many, many serious issues psychologically, physically, emotionally, and every aspect of the life. And the shame and the stigma associated with this abuse is just, it's amazing and alarming. So it's something that I am very passionate about, and I want to focus on this very much. So as far as I could find, some of the statistics said that the percentage rates are as high as 60% that the abuse is actually occurring, which is 60% is ridiculous, because that's that would be 6 out of 10. So that's an alarming number. And tonight we're actually going to focus on the male side of it. Now, there are many reasons for male depression, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And I know one of the reasons for male depression is definitely adult survivor of a childhood sexual situation that could be manifesting itself and playing out in the male adult. And males typically tend to not want to get help. So tonight we're going to be talking to a very, very highly skilled, highly trained individual. Dr. Jed Diamond is a PhD and a psychologist. And I've had him on the show before talking about irritable male syndrome, which is another condition that can manifest itself in men. And it could also be related to the adult manifestations of childhood sexual abuse. Dr. Jed Diamond's 2009 book was entitled Why Men Act Out and Women Act In, Male versus Female Depression. And he is a very highly celebrated psychologist. He has done extensive research on this topic, and I am so excited that he has decided to join us this evening. Dr. Jed, are you there?
Yes, I am. It's great to be with you.
Yes, I am so happy that you are with us, because this topic is very, very critical to me, and it's very important to everyone in our nation, because it's just running rampant. And I talked a little bit about the focus that we're going to be featuring over the next several weeks, mm-hmm. is the adult manifestations of childhood sexual abuse, and male depression is one of the manifestations. Now, I know there's many, many, many reasons for male depression, and we're going to talk about that tonight, because according to you and your latest report, it's rising. It's rising due to many reasons, and the reason you listed in your report was one of the reasons is socioeconomic changes.
Right.
So
these things
I'm
are all
just
quite related. So I think the focus that you have is a timely one, because what I've been seeing, you know, over the years as a therapist is that male childhood sexual abuse is rampant. We see it in obviously in males and females, but as you point out, for men, it's often a hidden abuse because for so many people, it becomes a shame that they don't want to talk about. Sometimes when they're children, their abuser will tell them, if you tell anybody, something bad will happen to you or your family. And even when you begin to bring it out, there's a tremendous amount of shame. And what I've found over the years is that men particularly, we don't think of childhood sexual abuse as affecting little boys often. We think of it as affecting little girls. But little boys are molested as well as little girls. They grow up to be adult men. And what we know is that the cycle continues. Not everybody that was abused as a child is going to grow up to abuse other children. But it's very common that if you were abused as a child, some manifestation of that is going to come out as an adult. And all of these things then contribute to depression, contribute to alcohol and drug abuse and all kinds of other issues. And it's often a problem that stays in the closet. Nobody wants to talk about it. It's so repugnant that even to make a discussion about it is often fearful. So I'm really glad you're bringing this out today.
Yes, it has to be brought out because from my perspective, Dr. Jed, the male presence in our homes today it's very, very sad because there are so many reasons why the males are not present in their children's lives. They're not present. They're not staying in the marriages. The divorce rate is very high. And I think all of this is related, and that's why I want to talk about this topic, and I want to focus on it for the next several weeks because
good.
I want males to start feeling comfortable to get in touch with their inner issues and their inner problems and what is contributing to your relationship and sexual dysfunctions. There are so many things that will manifest itself in you as an adult because you have not dealt with that inner child. That inner child has not been healed. And because that inner child has not been healed and addressed and assessed, it's going to destroy it. So talk about how it can manifest itself in your relationship and your sexuality and your intimacy.
Well, I think there's a couple of ways. The first one is that if you've been abused as a child and you don't talk about it, you don't share it with anyone, you feel ashamed, one way it manifests is so much energy then gets tied up in keeping the secret that you don't have a lot of energy for relationship. In other words, it gets frozen. So many men who then seem emotionally disconnected, emotionally uninvolved, often when you get to the root of it, you find something happened to them as children, physical abuse, sexual abuse, what have you. Secondly, what we find is that when there was an abusive relationship in childhood, that when you're now trying to have a satisfying sexual relationship as an adult, everything is confused. You feel that when you get touched, it feels uncomfortable. It gets fearful. When you touch or you're engaged with somebody else, it brings back some of these old fears. So it inhibits the free flow of intimacy between the couple. And finally, the third major thing that I see is that because men are so afraid of being accused of doing something bad to children, I was just talking to a client who is so terrified that he'll be accused of, doing something improper with the child, he totally withdraws from any involvement with even his own children. So he withdraws his attention. So probably the more common result of child sexual abuse isn't that you're going to do an abusive thing to your child or somebody else's child, but more common is that you're so afraid that you'll be perceived that way that you distance yourself from your children, and the children then grow up feeling alienated from their fathers. They feel like dad doesn't love me, he doesn't touch me, he doesn't hug me, particularly as the children start to grow up, and that's a tragedy for everybody.
Wow, that's pretty powerful. Let me ask you another question, Dr. Jed, because I have a lot of clients, female clients, who come to me and say, and I totally believe this is related, and that's why I'm asking this question, that their significant others or their spouses are acting out with pornography, mm-hmm. internet pornography, and they would rather masturbate. And I'm sorry, people, but these shows over the next several weeks are going to be very graphic, so, you know, hold on to your hat. But their spouses or significant others, they catch them masturbating to pornography rather than being intimate with them. So how does that all relate to this issue?
Well, what happens when we grow up with confused sexuality, which you don't have to have been abused as a child or have some kind of sexual molest go on in your family to have confused sexuality, because, as you point out, you know, if you didn't have a good sexual relationship, it gets passed on to the generation that's coming and the next and the next and the next. So what often happens, and what's of real concern as we look at these issues, is that we absolutely need to be able to talk about the things that go on with us sexually. We need to communicate, you know, about what makes for sexual intimacy, what brings, you know, a couple closer together. And what I find is that pornography is a way, in a sense, to have safe sex. In other words, if you're confused, if you're fearful about sexual intimacy, and think about, you know, what the essence of pornography is. It's images or words or sounds or stimulation that you then have with yourself. It's safe. You know, in the pornographic world, you know, the person does whatever you want them to do. They never say no. They'll be in any position that you want. In other words, it feels safe. It feels secure. It feels like, at least in this area of sexual fantasy, I can have a kind of sexual relationship that in my real life is confused, is uncomfortable. I'm afraid I'll be judged. I'm afraid she won't like it. I'm afraid. So it becomes then its own kind of addiction. In other words, when you then withdraw from intimate sexual relationships into a world of pornography, you need, just like a drug, more and more stimulation to get the same kind of response. And the more you're into pornography, obviously, the less you're going to be involved in intimate sexual relationships with your partner, and you feel more ashamed, and you go more into pornography, and it becomes a vicious cycle. So I talk a lot to both my male and female clients about how do we bring this out in the open without shaming either partner, because often a woman will feel ashamed that, why does he need to do this? There must be something the matter with me. The man will often feel ashamed of, why am I doing this when I've got a willing partner at home? There must be something the matter with me. And what I want to give message to your listeners and to the clients that I see is there's nothing the matter with you. What's the matter is with the system, the upbringing, the confusion that we have in our families of origin, which happened in our parents' families of origin. And the way we can break the cycle is to bring it out in the open, to talk about it, to realize we're not alone. So many of us have been through this. And the best news is healing can occur if we're able to talk about these issues.
That's fabulous. Thank you, Dr. Jed. And I also want to just add on, tail into that and remind the listeners, for those of you who are suffering with this yourself, or if you have a loved one who's suffering with this, being a prisoner of your thoughts is also a major contributor to delaying your healing, because when you allow those toxic thoughts to take root in your brain and just live there, and you convince yourself that you are a product of your behavior, you are a product of your dysfunctions. You are a product of all of these issues that are manifesting themselves in your life, and you're not a product of that. It's something that has happened. It's a condition that you have to deal with, plain and simple, period. That's it. It does not define you. It does not mean you are less worthy as a person. It does not mean that you are not worth anything. It just means that you have something that needs attention. You need a psychologist. You need the help of someone like Dr. Jed or whoever you may be able to find in your own local city. You just need to face it and fix it. So it's not anything that you should be ashamed of or try to ignore or sweep under the carpet or feel like Dr. Jed said, there's something wrong with you or there's something wrong with your wife. There's nothing wrong with either one of you. It's just something that we have to face in our society today.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I find that the more we're able to reveal these, you know, hidden secrets, the more we're able to talk about these issues, the more we're able to recognize that often the symptoms, the things that we see on the surface are depression, irritability, anger, numbness, a feeling of being just unemotional, feeling kind of dead at heart. When we get underneath the surface, that's where we find that there's been some woundedness. And we've all got wounds. I think that's what unites us as humans. We all have gone through wounds in our past. And we can either deny the wounds and turn it into anger, hostility, depression, sadness, blame, and shame, or we can take those wounds and we can heal them. We can share our woundedness with each other so that we can help each other heal.
That's very good. Absolutely correct. And that's why I'm having these series of shows, because I want everyone to know and understand what are some of the symptoms that will manifest themselves into your life, so that when you recognize these symptoms, you will know that it's not just something that happens, oh, I just feel this way and that's just how it is. You don't have to feel that way. You don't have to feel bad. I'm just going to read off of a list that I have here, and I'm sure there's more, but these are some of the common symptoms, and I'm sure it goes across the board. Depression, adult survivors of childhood sexual abuse, either one. But some of the symptoms are chronic pain, physical ailments, gastrointestinal illnesses and distress, obesity, eating disorders, whether you eat too much or you stop eating altogether, insomnia, sleep disorders, sexual dysfunction, addiction, chronic headache, chronic back pain, psychological and behavioral issues, depression and anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorders, repeated self-injury, that one really concerns me, repeated self-injury, emotional situations, self-perceptions, physical and biomedical effects, sexual effects, and social functioning, and then interpersonal effects. So all of those that I just called off are things that you probably think, oh, well, it's just a phase that I'm going through. But if you chronically have these symptoms, several of those symptoms that I just read off, more than one, stop and take a thorough self-assessment of yourself. Look at your thought process, your behaviors, your beliefs, and please get help. Please get help, because you can get out of that cycle. You don't have to continue to live that way. That's no way to live. Life is meant to be lived abundantly with joy and happiness and peace. And I don't want to wish this on anyone, so that's why we're having this conversation. So, Dr. Jed, in the last 10 minutes of the show, talk a little bit about how to take the first steps moving toward healing and how the people who are suffering from this can move toward healing.
Well, like I said, probably the 90% of the way there is taking that first step. And the first step is being able to share what you see when you look inside, when you really go, okay, I'm going to take a look. I'm tired of feeling lousy. I'm tired of, you know, acting out in ways that are hurtful to me or other people. And that's probably the most courageous thing that I see people do, because if you think about it, most of us that have had abusive relationships in our families, and you say it's incredibly common, the one thing that we share is a sense of shame. We feel bad. We feel there's something the matter with us. And to then take a look inside, when what we feel inside is dark and hurtful and ugly, takes more courage than you can imagine. And yet more and more people are saying, you know, I can work with somebody. I don't have to do this alone. You know, someone else can help me do this. But that first step is, I'm going to take a look. I want to get to the bottom of this. So that's the first thing. You know, your willingness to take a look. The second thing that I tell people is find a guide. Find somebody you can trust, a therapist, clergyman, somebody who you trust, who you know is not going to judge you, you know really has only your best interests at heart, and be willing to allow them to be a helping guide through the process, because none of us can do it alone. The third thing that I tell people that you need to be willing to do is to enter into a relationship with, you know, a person, a guide, with the agreement that says, I will go at my own pace. A lot of people have this fear of, you're going to open yourself up and kind of rip open, you know, all of your things that you don't want people to know, you know, all of those dark places, all of those shadow places, and we're going to rip it open and it'll overwhelm you. And what I tell people is, you can do this at your own pace. In fact, you have to do it at your own pace. You can't force yourself, or nobody can force you to, okay, we're going to get at the root of this. We're going to open it up and clean it out. We all are very vulnerable, and to be able to recognize our vulnerability and go at our own pace is absolutely critical. So those three elements, the willingness to look inside, the willingness to reach out to a guide, and the understanding that we must go at our own pace in this healing process, the result is that people get their lives back. People go from being the walking dead, the walking wounded, that really are living life, you know, in a gray zone. When you go through this, all of a sudden it's like the curtains open, and instead of living life in grays, you see technicolor. And that's the kind of thing that I've seen over and over again in the lives of people that have gone through this process. They really open up to life again. So that's my sense of that. Do you have a sense of what I'm saying? Hello, hello? Hello?